أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. والحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وبآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصبي حقوقهم من ليلنا هذا إلى يوم الدين. صلاة We decided that the subject which was given for discussion in the form of seminar be amalgamated and integrated with this Wafat night. The fact is that on that particular subject during last 2 months I have spoken twice already. One in this Imambara when the madrasa arranged Islamic view and fatawa of mujtahideen on medical ethics, and the second one when it was arranged at the Darul Tabligh, where the doctors and many professionals attended. They gave their view and then we guided the people there as to what was Islam's ruling on all those medical problems. Those of you who really wish to see them in detail can ask for the video which was there and you will understand what actually I have said. Tonight I'm just going to repeat a few salient features because I have got to finish in my time. What we have to understand is that the madhab of Shia Ithna Ashari has a fiqh, has a law. Islam has laws. And we, the Shia Ithna Ashari, our laws emanate from two principal sources. One is Quran, which is Kitabullah. Another is Hadith, if it is proved to be authentic. If the Hadith is proved to be not authentic, we don't accept it. That means if somebody just imputes a lie against our Prophet and said the Prophet said this, while the Prophet never said. If it is proved by the ulama that this is Da'ifus Sanad, or it is against the teaching of Quran and Majid, then of course such a hadith will not be accepted. And our Imam alayhi salam have guided us that whenever you receive a hadith, compare it to Quran and Majid. If it really tallies and agrees with the teaching of Quran, then it is from us. Otherwise, throw it to the wall. This is what Imam alayhi salam said. We could not have spoken those words. The only difference is that while other Muslim brothers rely, as far as hadith is concerned, on a single source, and that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we rely upon the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, and therefore we have other 12 sources extra where Ahlul Bayt have spoken. Of course, Ahlul Bayt have spoken and conveyed to us that which was said by the Prophet. But when it comes from them, then we are richer as far as our treasure of hadith is concerned. Taking a practical example, Ahlul Sunnah brothers have got 6 authentic books. They call them 6 authentic books. As-Sihah As-Sittah. They have Sahih Bukhari, they have Sahih Muslim, they have Ibn Majah, they have Tirmidhi, they have Sunan Ibn Dawud. All these are called Sahih books. And we also use those books. Because if there is any hadith which has been correctly reported, we will take it. Regardless whether it comes from Bukhari or Muslim or wherever. But they call them authentic. We don't call any book authentic except Quran and Majeed. There is no authentic book on earth except Quran. Well, they call it authentic. Now, put together all the hadith reported in these six books, add them together, it is lesser than 1 hour Usul-e-Kafi. Because in Usul-e-Kafi, we have more than 20,000 hadith. While there, you put together all, they don't come to that, because their source is limited. Our source is wider, and we take from Aimma Ismail alayhi salam also. But there happens now, these hadith are of many types, and Quran and Majid also. For example, Muhakkik al-Dabeli is just one example. I mean, there are many, but I'm giving an example. Has written one book, Ayatul Ahkam, in which he discusses only those ayats of Quran from which he takes the hukum of fiqh. And there are 500. 500 ayats of Quran he has taken, and he calls the book Ayatul Ahkam, those verses which indicate hukm ilahi. Because Quran has got akhlaqiyat, Quran has got historical anecdotes, Quran has got maw'idah, Quran has got so many subjects on it. He only has taken fiqh from it and chosen 500 ayats. Many other ulama have chosen more. Quran-e-Majeed provides the source for the law, and hadith supports and elucidates it. Two put together, we have what we call fiqh. Then, of course, there are other subsidiary things I'm not discussing tonight. But these two things are our principles, sources. Now, there can be certain things which did not happen in the time of the Prophet, which did not exist. Banks, commerce, the way it is being conducted today, medicine, for example, there are so many other things which did not exist in the time of the Prophet. But it exists today. We have got to find the ruling of Sharia. Does Sharia keep quiet on this? Or does it guide? Now that guidance which Sharia will give on any commercial law, insurance, banking, interest element in the banks, commission, and all other laws, inheritance, and even medical ethics today, we have got to see what the mujtahideen will say. Now the mujtahideen cannot give their own fatwa from the pocket, because they are responsible to Allah and to Aimma, to the Prophet. They have got to give answer on the Day of Judgment. So they will first take Quran and Majid, and then they will take Hadith, and based on these two principal sources, they will find an analogy. And from analogy, they will give a ruling to say that this is the ruling of Sharia. They can't get out of the framework of Quran and Hadith. Impossible. This is the thing. Now, what has happened? Since I have been told to speak on medical ethics and Islam, confining myself to that, today, the question is of, first and foremost, which used to be for the last 30 years, birth control or use of contraceptives. Many thought and still think that in the time of the Prophet this did not exist. But they are mistaken. The practice of controlling the birth is as old as 3,000 years. And our Prophet has been only 1400 years ago. So people have been practicing this contraceptive in their own way, their own methods for the last 3,000 years. But they had their own crude methods. Some refined methods, which are in use even today. One of them was what is called in their medical terms coitus interruptus, which is called in Arabic azl, withdrawal of the husband at the time of ejaculation. This is called azl. This is mentioned even in all our books of fiqh. And you can see in Al-Urwatul Wuthqa, the Qadim, Sayyid Qadim Yazdi has mentioned also the hukum of, what is the hukum of Al-Azl, the husband withdrawing at the time of ejaculation, and he has ruled that this is allowed provided wife and husband both are agreeable. So the idea of preventing birth has been there. What has happened is that as with the lapse of time, now there are so many ways of contraception, so many modes of contraception. We have a pill and we have this and we have that. All these things by Sharia have been allowed. All Mujtahideen have allowed. In principle, contraception is permissible and the modes used are all permissible. Except one thing. You cannot make a man or a woman, that is husband and wife, permanently disabled so that they can never produce. That is haram, even if they have 6, 7 children or 9 or 10, except when advised by the doctor that if you now will conceive and deliver, you will die, or it will be harmful to your health, or to the health of the child to be born. Otherwise, it is not jais, permanent disability. But now, when we go to the doctors, doctors have got, just like Mujtahideen, opinions and opinions. Some doctors tell us that, well, we can do this, but it is a reversible process. And some say it is irreversible process. If it is irreversible, that means once made disabled, vasectomy, then you cannot reproduce because the travel of sperm is impossible. Or it is a dangerous thing, then it is haram. Similarly for the ladies, if there is any of such operation. Therefore, this is something where we call gray area, or rather no-go area, because we do not know, and the professionals don't tell us exactly what is happening. Therefore, we will take a mujtahid's opinion, and if he says it is haram, and it is haram, permanent disability. And the second thing which is haram is abortion. And in Sharia, abortion means when the conception has taken place, even if it is a day old, when the eggs have been fertilized by human sperm and it has already set on the fallopian tubes, that is conception. Day one, to abort it is haram. Even if it is, in the modern medical era, possible to diagnose that the child is disabled, you cannot abort it. And even, God forbid, it is there by rape, you cannot. For the principle in Islam is that life belongs to Allah and not to you. This is the reason why in no circumstances suicide is allowed. For ruh, and this is amanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And God forbid, and we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not bring us into that sort of situation. If a rape occurs, the child born of a rape is not haramzada, is not illegitimate, it is a legitimate child. Try to understand. Now, whoever aborts, is a murderer according to Islam. If the mother has aborted the child, she is a murderer. On the day of judgment, as Quran says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. On that day, many daughters will be asked as to what was the sin for which they were buried alive. Among this, the ulama have included all those who are killed this way by abortion, the children, because in Islam, and this is an interesting way of thinking, there is something called bil-fi'l, and there is something bil-quwwah. And it is easily translated in English, potential and actual. If I am employed and my employer has signed a contract with me for 12 months, at least, then I may not be self-sufficient actually, because I am paid every month. But potentially I am self-sufficient because there is a contract for 12. That means bil-fi'l I may not be, but bil-quwwa I am, right? The moment conception takes place, the doctors and the philosophers, I have read the papers, they argue that you can't call it a person, therefore you can abort it. Our answer to them is that it is a person bil-quwwa, it may not be a person bil-fi'l. It may not be a person there and there, as you call it, actually, but it is growing up potentially to become a person. That which is bil-quwwa a person, it may not be bil-fi'l there and then, that must be honored, and therefore you can't abort it. Now comes the question, when we were told about controlling the birth, we were all very much upset. And I'm still upset about it. Not because Sharia says it is halal, halal. But do you know why? Whenever they found a particular nation was producing too many and too much, they tried to control it. In India, bas do hi teen bacche ghar mein hai lagte acche. You go everywhere, you'll find on the board written, bas do hi teen bacche. Lagte hain ghar mein acche. Now everybody, now that has an impact upon public, where a household which used to produce 10, they are told repeatedly at every gully, bas do hi teen bacche. Lagte hain ghar mein acche. Hum do, hamare do. We are two, that is husband and wife, and we have how many children? Two. The result was that in Islamic countries, where they feared most that there might be a population blast, the population slide dwindled by percentage, up to 30%, under the pretext that God does not provide for all those people. There is no enough food on earth, astaghfirullah al-azim. William James, the psychologist and the greatest psychology America has produced in this century, in his book, The Varieties of Religious Experience, writes that what a spiritless community of human beings are we, who are so fearful of poverty, that we refuse to produce and reproduce till we have a bank balance. Well, he has said in this 20th century after realization, Allah said, لا تقتلوا أولادكم خشية إملاق نحن نرزقهم وإياكم. Do not kill our children for the sake of fear of poverty or whatever. For we gave you risk and we shall give risk to him. A family produced 13 sons. One day when we went to compliment the father, the nurse at the hospital said, may I give you fresh, hot news? What? That the woman has produced 13 sons. It was fresh, hot news. 13th son. And we, the pseudo-philosophers, when we were young, we thought we were the greatest philosophers of our age. When we sat, you see, among our own French circle, we said, Akkal se, dar var se ek calendar, dar var se ek calendar. This man has no sense. And look at his place, like, look at his position. There's no finance, and there was a calendar. Every year there's a new calendar. That means there's a new child. You see? We said that. Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. All the mu'mineen, I keep you witness that I say Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh for having said those things, because that meant that we were wiser than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because today, bihamdillahi ta'ala, every son in that family is a millionaire. Huh? And now when we, the so-called philosophers, sit, hoi ne, manpower hoi to hoi ne, gambahat, now, that which was foolishness became manpower. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees, for him a passage of few years of suffering is nothing, for the result is good. And during the suffering, the family is molded. And they became well-behaved people. Poverty molds. Poverty makes you greater. Sufferings make you refined. This is how the world is. So at that time, suddenly the world has become worried about producing. I'm like, look at the whole thing. Now they want to produce at all costs. Even outside the womb. Now they come and say, Mullah sahab, what about infertility? I said, what about infertility? The Prophet had forecast there will come an age of infertility. Yes. If you look at the hadith that we have from the Prophet about Akhir Zaman, he has said there will come an age of infertility. Now, medical profession and doctors and mashallah, highly intellectual people, youngsters are sitting here, they know there can be many reasons. One of them is this radiation, which is going on in the atmosphere, by the nuclear blasts and all that which is happening. The Russian government did the blast and kept a secret for 28 years. It has come out now. America hit Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it has come to be known for years. But Russia did it, nobody knew, it has come to light now, 2 years ago. France did it successively. This is traveling in the air, and this is traveling in the atmosphere, and it is actually disturbing the whole pattern. The prophets at the time will come when there will be infertility. So we knew about it. You see? And the time is come. Have a sukar. So now the doctors have found out that you can develop a child outside the womb, or at least fertilize outside the womb. Take a sperm from the husband, eggs from the wife, get it fertilized, and then replant it into the wife, allowing it to develop into a child, and then she delivered. Well, Shariat says this is jais. It is A-I-H. Not A-I-D, huh? A-I-H is by the husband. A-I-D is by the donor. That D is a very khatarnak D. It has got to be insemination by the husband. And eggs must be that of the wife. It is done outside and then replanted or implanted into the mother or wife. And from there, the child is, mashallah. Now, in that process, what they have come up with is that they have to fertilize several eggs, and several eggs of them are fertilized altogether. You must have heard from just recent radio program that they kept for 5 years or 3 years or some eggs, fertilized eggs, and then they destroyed it. Either destruction of that is allowed or not. That is the question. Invariably, when I say this, because I'm not a doctor, but I have very good contact with my doctors, they have told me that mullah sahab, in such situations, there will always be, always, if not always, but in majority cases, there will be twins, or Allah replies, ek jo tum to thot kharo ke pran aapko dega. You didn't want one, now you play with my pattern, I give you three together. Two together. Fine. Now what happens? Not invariably, but in most cases it is always twins or sometimes one more. Now, what has happened is, what about the others which are there? They are kept and then they'll be destroyed ultimately. What is the... Ayatollah Sistani gave a very good reply. He said, this happens in nature. In nature this happens. When fertilization takes place naturally in the womb of the mother, many eggs are fertilized. In the next period, whatever happens, it is shed in the blood and it comes out. So when nature does it, it can be done. You understand? That is finished. But you can't have a donor, eh? Because donor is, to have a donor means to have an illicit relation. A child born is illegitimate because he's not the husband or not the father. Having said this, now there comes a new problem. There are a compounded problem. The wife wants a child. Wants a fertilization to take place, but doesn't want to carry. So now we have got to find some hired mothers, who we call surrogate mothers. This surrogate motherhood is haram. Because it was conducive to problems, and it was already there in the paper. A daughter's fertilized egg was carried by her own mother. In Kiswahili it says, Chidama Mambo. Now this is a new problem. Because the daughter's fertilized egg is now carried by her mother. Now when she delivered, now what is that child? Is that boy his mother's brother? Or his mother's son?